Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, we're back, and we are oh so close to Christmas here. It's Mick Dagger.
And the General.
And this is Beer Army Engaged. Thank you so much for tuning us in. There are a number of ways you can connect with us. Don't forget online, beerarmy.org. Great resource there. I'm staring at a lot of really cool Super Soldier swag right now.
Yeah, we got to decide on what we're going to, because we've been talking about it. We're going to give out some swag and to add some levels to our loyal Super Soldiers, people that pledge their support on Patreon. So we will have that stuff up by the end of the year, and check it out, patreon.com/beerarmy. Pledge your support. Help us to offset the cost, production cost of this show, which allows us to focus more of our financial resources and raising money and producing those scholarships that we want to do. And
absolutely.
And this past week, we actually went and visited NC State, Dr. John Shepherd, to see what they're doing.
Oh, hell yeah. That's right.
Doing some yeast propagation and brewing science type research and stuff. And it was just really awesome. I mean, the university down in the bowels of the building has two or three, I can't remember now. I don't have my notes in front of me. It was either two or three barrel, no kidding, commercial brew pub type system, you know.
Right there at NC State.
Right there at NC State. And they compete for space with the dairy program and, you know, everybody else. So it was really, really cool. And definitely want to give a shout out to Dr. John Shepherd for hosting us and letting us see what they're doing and taking a tour of the facilities and his lab. And we're really super stoked. We think we're going to be able to help them do some things to help them out and to grow that program, because we think it's really important. The research that they're doing goes back to supporting the brewing industry, which, I mean, unless you live underneath a rock or you don't know, employs a lot of people and pays a lot of tax revenue.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, so. And how you feeling after yesterday?
After Defy Gravity, that was awesome. There's so many good beers.
There were so many people who were like, 1 ounce pours? All we're getting is 1 ounce pours.
Yeah, well, they didn't know. They didn't know what they were getting themselves into.
I don't know if you saw, there's this one girl, and she went over by the water to wash out her cup, right? And she's like bent over, and she's obviously had way too many 1 ounce samples, you know? And swirls it around and goes to dump in a dump bucket. It like hits her freaking toe on her shoe, you know? Freaking. Well, one of our loyal soldiers, Jerry Potts, he was telling me about it. He's like, yeah. He goes, and then she like hunkers over, kind of looks at it without even skipping a beat, fills it up with water, guzzles it, fills it up with some more water, guzzles it right there, kind of like in a breakdown stance, like you're getting ready to tackle somebody in football, you know? So,
just, like a Gatorade refuel.
Yeah.
There was one guy when I was walking in, he was passed out on one of the couches out there at the convention center.
And we're trying to tell people, hey, this is high gravity. These are like double the strength of a normal beer.
Well, that's the thing is they think, well, liquor's like 80, 90 proof.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what is an 8% or 10% beer? That's not that strong. you're so wrong.
By the third hour of the five-hour escapade that we had, I can't tell you how many people I saw just like not really passed out, but they're like, you know, their arms are kind of on the back of couches and chairs and, you know, just strolling about the convention center here and there.
There were so many good beers there.
It was absolutely awesome.
That was a great event, and that was a foundation-oriented event. So.
Yeah, no, and we already have ideas for next year, how to make it better, and, as far as we want to make it a little bit more, not formal, we want to do, promote the ugly sweater thing and kind of like, that's kind of like what to wear, but we kind of thinking about making it like a sit down, kind of like a banquet, like a formal and food wise anyways, and sit down and kind of make it like that. Do like a 10 or 15 minute year in review of what we've accomplished in the past year. Talk about, who we've awarded scholarships to. Cause this would be going into 2016, coming out of 2015.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I think it'll be a really great time. And then of course afterwards us hanging out and going out to eat to some local watering and eatery holes.
Oh man, it's just awesome. That is a little unknown gem, it seems. The majority of New Bern, North Carolina, I don't think they truly know what they have there at their disposal with Lawson's Landing.
Yeah.
That was I can't even remember It was on their menu. What we had, but that was delicious.
I know, and I don't even want to try to pronounce the name because you know how bad I am at names, dude.
Yeah, I do. You know? You're horrible.
But it's an Italian name, but it's like in a period. I don't even know, but it's so. I think they're rebranding from Lawson's Landing to that. I don't know, and I got to ask Buddy. I meant to ask him to clarify that, but yeah, and so it's a little. I guess we would call a wine slash, and they've got some craft beer going in there. Well, they do have craft beer.
They do. It's some good ones.
And then they're pairing it up with, you know, very Mediterranean. I mean, they're flying down meats and cheeses from New York City, and, you know, they're aged, or, you know, everything from, aged mozzarella to Parmesan cheeses. And then, of course, like capicola and, what are some of the other meats? I can't remember.
They had the Genoa salami, the prosciutto di Parma.
Prosciutto.
The Italian soppressata.
Yeah.
Then the capricola, like you said. I mean, it was all so good with that aged Romano, fresh mozzarella, aged Parmesan. Oh, my God.
So if you ever find yourself out in towards New Bern, our neck of the woods, you definitely want to check this out. Even when we had Marcus with us, he was even surprised. He's like, I can't believe I'm getting food like this in New Bern.
I know. It was amazing.
Not that New Bern has lots of good restaurants, you know, but it's, to me, it's really a step above where it's the food is complex as far as combining it, but their basic raw form, it's very simple,
mm-hmm.
and it's very open, and it's not pretentious, you know, but the flavor is very, what you're getting is just very high end. Does that make sense?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. And we topped it off, you know, we had the meat and the cheeses and that plate, which was delicious. And then you topped it off with that fig crostini, which was, that was awesome. That fig preserves, it was the Pescarino Romano sheep's milk cheese, a sliced Granny Smith apple on a slice of a rustic Italian bread, and baked. And that was the oddest combination of things I've ever had, but it tasted so good.
Right. No, so anyways, the beer, I didn't drink any. I was drinking water. I know you guys want the wine. I was like, there's no way. I can't drink anymore. But
I got there a little later than I wanted to. So I was still able to. I was able to compliment it. But you've complimented the podcast here with a delicious beer today. This is, I've never had this, and it is awesome.
And, you know, because we got Christmas coming, you know, tomorrow, when this thing hits the airwaves, Sweet Baby Jesus. From Duclaw Brewing Company out of Baltimore, Maryland. So,
this is good.
For us in North Carolina, the only way to get this beer is go drive your happy butt up to Virginia, but because they're not distributed down here. But they have other great beers, like Colossus is a big, huge barley wine. And then that, was it Hanger? Not Hanger. It was just number 13 or 31. I'm trying to remember. I thought I shared that with you. It was like this spiced fall, like amber.
Ale. Oh, that was one of the bonfire nights, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. So, Duclaw Brewing Company out of Baltimore, Maryland. This is Sweet Baby Jesus, chocolate peanut butter porter, coming in at 6.5% ABV. It was first brewed in 2011. It's very dark brown. The website said jet black. I would say it's dark brown in color with a creamy tan colored head. You know, good lace. If our beer glasses were probably cleaner, they'd probably even be better lace, but we're nasty like that.
What are you saying?
And there's some nice, tight little bubbles on there. And the aroma, I would say, is definitely got the chocolate. It's like a bitter chocolate, though, not a sweet chocolate. And definitely got the peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely picking up some burnt toffee type notes.
Almost on the edge of coffee notes.
Right, yeah.
Really, really good.
And the body, or the mouth, feels very creamy and full-bodied-like, and it's definitely got a sweet flavor. It's not as bad as like doing the creme brulee from Southern Tier as far as being that overly sweet, but it's definitely sweet. And it's rich, and it's really rich and malty with that bitter chocolate and coffee and that peanut butter. It's almost more peanut than butter, if that makes sense.
I get that. I get that in there. It does have a peanutty flavor to it, but I think that peanut butter, the butter in that kind of morphs into that toffee near coffee. It's really, really good. This would be a nice after dinner.
Oh yeah,
porter to drink.
Definitely,
it's absolutely delicious.
The finish is definitely. dry. Surprisingly, I didn't think that the finish for usually for porters and stuff like that is not as dry as this. And then there's definitely like some roast, maybe more roast than what I would expect for a porter. But again, this is not a traditional porter, so you know you can't paint it in that box, so to speak. And you know, for some background on the Duke Claw Brewing Company, it was founded by Dave Benfield. He started in 1995, shortly. Like a lot of guys, you know, in college, he was homebrewing and stuff like that. He established in 1996. He started homebrewing in college to want to take a guess for why?
So he could drink his own beer?
Close, to meet girls. Because he's supplying beer. I don't know. There it was off go. Their website. He said, you know.
Don't worry about getting somebody else to buy you your beer. I'll make it for you.
You can tell, though, from reading the website and some of the other articles I read about him, that he definitely has a sense of humor to include his idea of a brew pub. But then he dialed in his 56K modem and found out on the West Coast they already have brew pubs and they already exist. So his business model then changed to, well, I'm going to do a brew pub, but I'm just going to make it cool. And that was pretty much it. I'm going to make it cool. So, which he was a year later, one of the local magazines or whatever said he's one of the coolest, you know, hangouts or establishments around. So he definitely got the cool down, I guess. And his original business model was all about having multiple brew pubs, but that was scrapped because of Maryland law. Basically, one person can't have more than one brewing establishment. So then he was like, okay, well, I'll brew one and then just start distributing to the others, right?
Right.
Well, then there's another law on there that says you can't self-distribute to more than two locations. So basically now they have a central brewery, a regular production brewery, and they have four restaurants. And then they sell it to their distributor and then buy it back from their freaking distributor.
I don't understand these hoops they make you jump through.
Well, because I guess up in Maryland, one of the things was like, you know, Bud Miller Coors, they could bring in and have 13 breweries technically or 14 breweries. But, you know, I think there was probably a reason for that law at the time it was made, you know, but fast forward a couple of decades, obviously you probably need to rethink it because it's kind of hamstringing, you know, local.
Well, it is. You know, it is.
Local but entrepreneurs.
Just logically, I don't see a major macro just launching up a brewery in a state just to be able to do that. That's not cost efficient.
No, it's not. But they outgrew their first two locations, and now they have a state-of-the-art package brewery supporting those four restaurants, and they're pretty much in the D.C. Baltimore area, even though the package brewery is out of Baltimore. And they opened that in mid-2013. It's a fully automated 60-beer-barrel German brew house. They also put in a new bottling line and went from about 10,000 to 60,000-square-foot facility. So what they went from. And their brewmaster is Jim Wagner. Seems like from all the other beers that I've drank of his, guy definitely knows what the hell he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to find out more about them, you can go to duclaw.com. So,
I love the name.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that YouTube viral video. Sweet baby Jesus, there's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
If you get a chance, I have had an opportunity to go to their restaurant. It was around the Beltway going around D.C. Awesome. Just good food.
Mm-hmm.
The beer. I mean, it's all their beer. You won't find any other. If I remember correctly, yeah, it was all their beer. I don't remember seeing anybody else's beer there. No guest taps or whatever. Just they got some crazy stuff, though, and they're Colossus. They only make it every, like, I think they've only made it three times, but it's like a 24% barley wine. I think this last version they made is only like 19, and I think I've shared that with you, haven't I? Like, some age stuff I've been sitting on.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you compare it up to Sam Adams, I'm losing my mind here.
Well, there's so many Sam Adams.
Utopias. I'm thinking about their Utopias. They usually go for a couple $100, and they're usually like around 24%. And they're very good, too. But for the price point, this is Colossus is definitely a bargain that I think gets you in there if you want to know what a high-end barley wine is.
Well, it takes a while. Like, people don't realize it takes a while to make a barley wine. That is an aged beer.
Yeah. No. Well, Sam Adams mixes theirs with different vintages that's been aged in different barrels, where I think Duclaw just makes, you know, one batch and they just roll with it. So
there you go.
But definitely check them out. Sweet baby Jesus, and Merry Christmas to all.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. And if you can, enjoy this chocolate peanut butter porter. It's absolutely delicious. And we've got a lot of awesome stuff coming your way here on today's episode, or this episode of Beer Army Engage, our Heroes Never Die segment, an awesome segment to get you in the holiday spirit. And later in the program, Yikum to Sue, this insanity from our everyday life. We're going to expose it all and have some fun with it. So just make sure you keep it here on Beer Army Engage.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, superherodend.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's superherodend.com.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing here on Beer Army Engaged, why don't you be a part of it and become a Beer Army Super Soldier?
Hit up patreon.com/BEERARMY and pledge today.
There are a number of levels at which you can pledge, and that way you can be a part of Beer Army.
That's right. For as little as $1 a month, we're talking about less than 25 cents an episode, you can become a part of Beer Army by being a super soldier. That helps us to offset the production costs of this program, and you enable us to raise money for charity.
It's a great thing to be a part of. We encourage you to do it. Hit it up. It's patreon.com/BEERARMY.
That's Patreon, patreon.com/BEERARMY.
Beer Army Engaged.
Hey, we're back, and I can't recommend enough checking out beerarmy.org. There's a lot of great resources up there. There's information about the charity side of the foundation, and these awesome blogs Dustin writes, giving you some insight into different aspects of the
You're too generous,
the
sir.
Brewing too industry. Generous. Well, you know what the heck you're doing, man.
If people only knew how long I had to look in a dictionary and thesaurus to write those articles.
Thesaurus.com's your go-to, huh?
No, you're right.
But as well, you can link there on beerarmy.org to Patreon, and that's where you can be a part of the things that the foundation is doing. Be a super soldier. There's a lot of good reasons to be one.
And we're getting ready to really kick off a huge campaign for that super soldier now that we kind of figured out what some of the swag we want to give away and add additional levels and stuff. And of course, if we make you laugh, I know I keep saying this, you definitely got to check out what makes us laugh. And there's a little activity fee that only Patreon members can get. And so we always post either videos or pictures or whatever it is, you know, maybe it's audio, just stuff that makes us laugh. Came across this little video where it was two guys, one in his 20s, one in his 30s, and basically had a competition to see who could better handle hangovers. And so they both basically got wasted. And then the next day they did different, what would be the word, acuity skills or something. Was like tie a tie, put
agility.
A puzzle, agility. Yeah. No, how fast can you shotgun a beer? One, it was funny how like the older, you know, the person in their 30s could do certain things better than the person in their 20s. So.
It just hurts thinking about it, man.
So anyways, one of the segments right here, I'm getting ready to play for you this little thing. They're putting together a puzzle, just a traditional puzzle. But you can tell that their heads are hurting and they're like trying to figure it out. But here, give a listen, because the older guy in his 30s like starts talking to himself. And this made me feel old. And I think if you're anybody probably in your 30s, mid-30s and older, you can relate to
You'll
this.
Get it.
So, yeah, so just give a listen here.
Talk to me, Goose. Here we go. There we go.
What does talk to me, Goose mean?
You talk to me, Goose?
Yeah.
You don't know what talk to me, Goose means?
Is that
what that's from?
Is that like a TV show thing?
Oh, my God.
I'm 24.
I know.
What's it from?
It's from Top Gun.
What is that, like a shooting show on TLC or something? Is that like Top Chef?
Let's talk to me, Goose.
Oh, wow.
I can remember saying that all the time, too, man, doing different things. Talk to me, Goose, you know, right? Because everybody saw that movie that you grew up with or whatever. Everybody knows what reference you're talking about.
So. Hell yeah. That's when you know you're getting old, when you're making pop culture references that the current young adult generation has no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, he's definitely not my hero for making me feel old.
Well, I just feel cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just in denial. I have no idea.
But speaking of heroes, though, I always get excited about this when we come out of that first break and go into our second segment. Because
this is the meat of Beer Army Engaged. And this is, if there's only one thing you listen to when it comes to Beer Army Engaged, I highly recommend that it be our Heroes Never Die segment, because in this world, you never know when it's going to be flipped on its end. Everything can be falling apart around you. You never know what situation you're going to find yourself in, and you never know who's going to step in the gap.
Victory! Heroes come in all shapes, sizes, colors, creeds, sexes, even mythical creatures, you know, people. Well, here, I don't want to give it away. Just give it a listen here.
Okay.
Today is the last day of layaway pickup at Walmart, and at least one family in Mechanicsburg was getting ready to return some of the gifts that they could not afford.
But a man calling himself Santa visited that store today. Fox 43's Katie Kyrus tells us they couldn't believe how generous Santa was.
Brittany Koyman had most of her children's Christmas on layaway. She had $280 left to pay.
We were scraping together the last few minutes here to pay for it. we were actually going to have to return a couple things.
But just before noon, a man walked into the Walmart and said he wanted to pay all of the remaining balances.
Kind of took us aback, but we figured out that we had roughly 100 layaway balances left.
Got up to the register and she actually handed me $20 because of price adjustment on stuff I'd already paid for.
The man wrote a check for $50,000.
Wow. Like, you know, we look at these layaway angels, you hear about it, but this is so generous that it's unbelievable that somebody could do that.
That is amazing. 50 grand, it's dropping 50 grand right there.
I mean, really, right? I mean, so what we're trying to say there is our hero is Santa Claus, you know, or this, well, this guy's
anonymous, right?
Yeah, and he said, just let people know it's Santa B. That's it. So nobody knows, and this is out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And, you know, I think I told you before we prepped for the show, you know, I was going to go with another story kind of like, but I felt like it kind of went on a negative angle, kind of some of the stuff that's going on.
There's so much going on.
You know, I don't even want to talk about it. So negative. But,
it's the holidays,
know,
buddy.
Yeah,
cheer
you
up.
Want to be in the spirits and stuff. And when I saw this, I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. It's like, because anybody can be Santa, you know, and when you see this lady, and I highly encourage you, go check out and watch the rest of the video segment, but you can tell this lady, you know, she was going to return some items so they could get the other items for the kids.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know about you, Mick, but, you know, I wasn't like dirt poor as a kid, but we didn't really have a lot either. I mean, going out to the movies was a big thing. We would go to maybe to the amusement park once a year, but we always had bologna sandwiches out in the car type situation. You know what I mean? It was
weren't
getting anything. You know, there's people that never went to an amusement park, you know, where the county fair was like the big shindig, you know? So I felt kind of blessed in that regards, but yeah, man, you know, it's really cool. Again, the human condition, people dropping 50 large, rolling up in there. Hey man, I want to pay all the layaway balances. What would have happened if it was 100? You know, like, that's what I want to know. Like, obviously, he just said, I want to pay all the layaway balances. Doesn't know how much it's going to be.
You know? That's the thing. That's true philanthropy. That's true. Well, it's the spirit of Christmas and Santa. I mean, that's truly what it is. It's about giving to your fellow man and taking care. And that one lady tearing up you're talking about, that's just one of every single one of those people that had that on there probably had the same similar response.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's just, and you're right. You know, philanthropy, when it's done anonymously, that is true.
That's its impact.
That's the true point. Now, when you give in public and, oh, look at me or whatever.
Well, it's vanity. It's not philanthropy.
Exactly. You just gutted the whole point almost, you know. It's like you're better off just keeping your money, I think. I won't say that. I mean, you're helping somebody out too, but you know, when you can do it like that, that is just, it's awesome. I mean, it's like, I want to know who it is so I can say, dude, you're awesome. But the fact that you can't makes it really awesome too, you know? And so,
well, that's the thing. And it boils down to in all different avenues. I mean, scholarships are the same way. I mean, scholarships are available in so many different areas from so many different organizations and charities. And, you know, kids will apply for these scholarships. I mean, they get them, they're truly appreciative.
Sure.
But they don't put a face with it.
Right. No,
and it's not that they should put a face with it. It's just somebody wanting to provide an opportunity for them to succeed or to do something good for their family like this guy is doing.
Well,
I mean, like, that's amazing. That's what's awesome.
Well, like when we met at NC State, met Dr. John Shepherd, you know, and I was asking him, like, what kind of budget do you have? He's like, well, we don't have a budget. He goes, we pretty much do this out of pocket. I'm like, what?
Wow.
And he's like, well, because the chancellor of the school is a Bear Army fan, you know, and all that. So I was telling Scott, like, cause Scott's alumni,
that is,
you know.
Awesome, yeah.
It's his alma mater. It's like, we got to do something about this. And, you know, Dr. Shepherd was like, well, he goes, you can do that. He goes, you've been in the military, though. You understand there's a rank structure. He goes, me, I have, like, a department head. There's the dean. There's the I just don't have a direct. I was like, well, this is one area where I can help out in. And, you know, and I kind of asked him, like, well, how much of a budget do you need? And he's like, you know, I was like, well, would $100 help? Would $1,000 help? And he's like, yeah, you know, like anything would help, you know? And it's like, holy smokes, what they could do with that, you know? And yeah, I just, again, you're helping out. And I just think
it's not for your benefit. It's for theirs.
Right. Well,
that's
where I was going with this before I kind of lost my train of thought and getting teary-eyed. But I I sensed that he was guarded, like, okay, what do you guys want?
Yeah, exactly.
And I just said, look, man, like, there's no strings attached. Like, we want to get behind this and support research. I mean, the benefit for us is that our state's growing rapidly in the craft beer sector. It's one of the fastest growing states in the South. When I define that, like, south of Pennsylvania all the way to Texas, North Carolina is like the fastest growing state for craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to, you know, your research is going to help refine it, because there's also a lot of breweries coming online where maybe they, well, I don't want to say this guardedly, but, you know, maybe don't have the education or putting out beer. What I'm trying to say is, if you put out shitty beer, it brings down everybody. Because everybody so starts associating, oh, that's craft beer. Well,
I get it.
Everybody has a responsibility to be a vanguard of the industry, even Bud Miller Coors, you know?
Well, an appreciation of the process will carry you farther and will lead to a level of endurance and longevity rather than a fleeting flash in the pan and a desire to do something because you'd like to do it. I mean, it's a crazy world, but you're exactly right. It's one of these things where the benefit that some might think is selfish, the benefit isn't selfish. The benefit is altruistic for the rest of the industry.
It is kind of selfish, though, that I just want great beer out there.
Who doesn't want a great beer? But everybody benefits from that. It's not just you're getting the great beer.
No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, that's the power of it all. And then you know what? Beer is one of those what's the word I need to use with this? It's with the holidays coming. Beer is one of those...
Social enablers or
no? With Christmas here and that spirit of giving and then the jubilation and jolly old Saint Nick and everything else. I'm not saying that anything about inebriation. All I'm saying is the power that beer has through
bridging
the education,
bridging this
gap and doing this study on yeast propagation.
Yeah.
At NC State, that's beer. Beer isn't just associated with being some lazy dude sitting on a couch watching pornography.
Yeah, watching, smoking two packs a day and, you know, with his hand down his pants and, you know, a suitcase of beer. All right, you're absolutely freaking right. And that's what drives me. That's the only thing that really drives me nuts about the South is their view on alcohol, period. Not just beer, but alcohol in general, where they can be so hypocritical, I think, at times. And, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. But I'm not trying to, like, do a mass stereotype, you know, label here. It's just... It amazes me how many people can, again, make bathtub gin Saturday night, and then they're in church on Sunday morning, you know, and saying, oh, you know, you're the devil because you're in the brewing industry or something.
Right.
You're like, what? Yeah. You know, it's like, what? You know, this is one of the biggest moonshine areas in the country, man, you know, and so that moonshine ain't making itself, man, you know?
Nope. But what I love about craft beer and what I love about the breweries that are out there that have had success and they've been able to maintain it, they have all done great things in their communities. They all have. Yeah. All you have to do is look into it. If there's a brewery in your area that you know is popular and successful, look at what they've done in their community.
Yeah, and patronize them too, you know, mm-hmm. support them and, you know, buy their product if it's good. And if it isn't good, that's another thing too. I'll go out on a limb here and say, you know, when people find out, oh, you're with Beer Army, and if it's a local brewery or something like that, a brewer, they'll say, hey, tell me what you think about my beer owner. I'm like, well, look, I don't want to judge, you know, like, I'm here to drink socially. Mm-hmm. I want to have fun and I have had people press me, and then I'll give honest feedback. Now, I'm not an expert judge. There's guys way better at judging beer than me, but I give them my honest opinion. And sometimes I say, well, I think it's a little bit here. And then you see, like, oh, you know. Like I said, their beer sucks. I'm like, I'm not saying it sucks, but you kept pressing me for my honest opinion, so I'm going to give it because I see too many people say, oh, this is the best beer ever. This is the best beer ever. And I think that doesn't help. Like me as a home brewer, when I was home brewing, I would have said, no, look, tell me what you don't like about it.
Yeah.
I want it, just like our festivals or any of our events, I say, because a lot of times they'll give you accolades. It's like, well, that's great, but tell me what did you think could be better or what really sucked? Because that's what I want to really work on. You know,
Success comes from criticism.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not negative.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's just building upon building the structure stronger. That's all it is. But you know, you're exactly right. It's one of these things where every palate's different. Every people's selection and choices and what they want to drink is different. That's why there are so many different breweries brewing so many different beers, and that's why we talk about them here. That's why we highlight one.
Right.
And I highly encourage you to stick around here on Beer Army Engaged because we're gonna dive into some real crazy stuff you can't make up.
Yeah, you gotta laugh. That's part of the holiday spirit. having a beer and laughing your butt off and being thankful. And again, our heroes never die. Shout out tribute to Santa B. You are the friggin' man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for doing what you're doing and keeping the holiday spirit alive. And keep it locked right here on Beer Army Engaged.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at BEERARMY.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to BEERARMY.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, it's that time. You know it. Yeah, you know what time it is, Dustin, don't you?
Yeah. I got my chin strap on.
Things get crazy in this thing we call life, don't they?
They do.
It gets so crazy that you wonder, how the hell can people behave this way? How can people do these things? Because you can't make it up.
No, you cannot make it up.
Let's shake them to Sue.
You know, I'm sure you've heard about the Sony hack job with the interview with our boy Seth Rogen and James Franco. And, you know, you got to admit, if that is your movie, you got to be loving the exposure you're getting.
Oh, that movie will go down in the annals of history.
If that movie doesn't do like $100 million open box office weekend, I'll be blown away with all the free exposure again. And then if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, they have a funny movie. Basically, it's two gentlemen doing journalism or whatever, and they get an offer to freaking interview the dictator of North Korea, you know, Kim Jong-un. And then they get recruited by the CIA and asked to kill him, basically assassinate him, because, you know, very rarely does anybody get a chance from the West to be around him.
Other than Dennis Rodman.
And other than Dennis Rodman, exactly. So supposedly somebody hacked into Sony, and everybody thinks it was North Korea. They're saying it wasn't, and, you know.
Oh, all evidence is pointing to North Korea.
Right, right. So I'm sure, I don't know about you, Mick, I've been known to watch a little porn now and then, especially back
in
the day.
You are a red-blooded male.
Yes, I am. And I always used to get a kick out of the movies that, like there was one I remember back on VHS days now, before, you know, there was a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Well, there was a spoof on that.
Please be kind. Rewind after you've washed your hands.
Yeah. And so I think the pornos that are spoofs or parodies or satire of some existing movie, and so this one is no different. And our boy, well, here, I was going to let you listen to this.
I
got to
hear this.
The porn industry is jumping onto the bandwagon in the wake of the Sony cyber attack. Hustler Video, the purveyor of an endlessly expanding library of pornographic parodies of pop culture touchstones from The Simpsons to Glee to Game of Thrones, will produce This Ain't the Interview XXX, an adult video spoof of the Seth Rogen North Korea set comedy. The story will center on two civilians recruited by the CIA to assassinate the leader of North Korea. Hustler founder and chairman Larry Flint alluded to the backlash against Sony's cancellation of The Interview's release in his statement announcing the parody. Flint said, "I spent a lifetime fighting for the First Amendment, and no foreign dictator is going to take away my right to free speech." He added, "If Kim Jong-un and his henchmen were upset before, where do they see the movie we're going to make?"
They may be upset, but they will be aroused. Oh, wow.
So
this ain't the interview, XXX. That's
XXX,
what it's called.
Yeah, so Larry Flint and Hustler
Company. Oh, I'm Kim Jong-un. Hey, order a pizza.
And he's saying, he's basically calling his shot. He's saying if...
calling his money shot?
The money shot. If the dictator ain't happy now, he definitely could be happy once this shit is. So, you know, I don't even know how people get porn nowadays. I mean, do people still do DVDs or is everything online? So
most people go online.
Whatever.
Snapchat, Vine.
Whatever your outlet for your pornography is, just keep your eyes open and check out that channel. And you will see the latest of This Ain't the Interview XXX. Larry Flint, you got to love the guy, man.
Wow. That whole situation's absolutely nuts.
It is.
Quite honestly. I don't get why Kim Jong-un is so freaking crazy. His dad obviously wasn't going to, you know, try to blow up theaters that played Team America.
Well, the crazy thing was that they just, I saw the news that they wanted to be part of the, whoa.
Knocking over drinking bottles.
No more for you, man. Sweet baby Jesus.
Sweet baby Jesus, this is strong.
No, I heard that they asked to be on a joint investigation, but I guess the U.S. turned them down and said, no, that's okay, we got
We've already determined you were part of the hack, so.
But I guess we reached out to China. So go figure, you know.
Well, China is actually, the claim is that China helped North Korea do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear about that part. So.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
No, look, I don't know. Insecure, short people. I don't get them.
Hey, I got a public service announcement for you. If you're going to believe anything from North Korea, then you might as well believe China, too.
Well, Dennis Rodman's probably the only guy that can defuse this situation, quite honestly.
Oh, hey, Kim. What's wrong with you in the movies, Kim? Let's talk about this over some hoops.
Whatever. Speaking of PSAs, as you brought up, South Dakota had a very interesting public service campaign to remind drivers not to abruptly pull the steering wheel to overcorrect on icy roads.
What?
Yeah.
Is this for real?
This is a real. And just not to, you know, hey,
But this is
Abruptly pull the steering wheel when you're on an icy road.
I know, but this is North Dakota, though, you said.
South Dakota.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, still, they get a lot of snow.
Yeah.
That's kind of like saying if you live in Maine, like, hey, you should boil your lobsters. You know, it's like, so let me guess, they probably spent like $100,000 or something on this.
Hey, they probably did. They probably had some huge budget for this campaign, but it got a lot of criticism.
Well, why is that?
People complained,
what?
And they've pulled this public service campaign, claiming it's too racy.
It's too racy.
I'm not going to tell you the name of it. I'm just going to play the audio.
Okay.
And I'll let you decide if this was a worthy venture.
Okay, I'm going to close
with
my
taxpayer answer. Money to fund this public service campaign to not abruptly, you know, abruptly turn the steering wheel while you're on an icy road.
Let's hear it.
Hello and welcome to Driving Proper. Today's lesson, staying the course. Winter driving can be treacherous. Should your tire leave a snowy or icy road, resist the urge to jerk the steering wheel. Overcorrecting only results in chaos. Besides, nobody likes a jerker. Instead, stay the course. Slowly let off the gas and re-enter only after regaining control. Now that's proper driving. Discover more winter driving tips at don'tjerkanddrive.com.
don'tjerkanddrive.com. I guess I could kind of see where maybe some people felt maybe it was a little racy.
Well, you just got to remember to re-enter.
No. But if they think it's racy, where is their mind at?
Exactly.
You know, because...
Well, how many times have I gotten lonely and scared on an icy road all by myself, and the only thing to comfort me was masturbation?
Don't jerk and drive, though.
Ah, man, I knew I shouldn't have, but I had to jerk and still drive.
Oh, I love it.
It's crazy. Seriously, this was a real campaign. This is not a joke.
Well, so. I mean, who was the ad agency? Like, you know, fly by night, freaking, you know. It's like, okay, there's a difference between an ad agency that puts out stuff with construction paper and crayons, and then there's other agencies that use computers and, you know.
You're right. But here's the director of the Highway Safety Office says that the double entendre was purposeful.
The double on top.
The message is that we'd prefer drivers keep their cars out of the ditch and their minds out of the gutter. That's what this guy says.
Oh.
So, but anyway, people complain, too racy, so they pulled the whole campaign, taxpayer money, down the drain. So nobody now can chuckle and hear jerk and drive.
No, so you know how we talked about last week, how I love anything from... you know, Asia, well, Japan specifically. And since we're talking about jerking, you know, and I found this little nugget. I can't help it.
Where are our minds?
I can't help it. It's like, I don't know what it is with the magma type cartoons, you know, with the porn and everything else. I'm not trying, ladies and gentlemen, I do not try to find this stuff.
We
this stuff just drops in
We did
our
not
lap,
coordinate so. On which stories we were going to do. It was he brought his stories, I brought mine, that just happened to be all about, you know, porn and manhandling yourself, I guess.
Well, here, we'll talk, here, listen first.
There are three rules to robotics. First, a robot must not hurt a human. Second, a robot must obey its human. And finally, a robot must protect itself. But this past weekend, a new prototype called the VG Tenga was unveiled in Tokyo, and it honors a fourth law. A robot must aid its humans in their self-pleasure. Scientifically speaking, the VG Tenga is a grip-based haptic controller, an artificial vaginal simulator that male users can manipulate electronically. It's accompanied by an animation that provides visual stimulation if required. Simply put, it's a robo-handy. In a quick poll on the Huffington Post, nearly 53% of readers said they would be interested in using a VG Tender, while just over 30% said it sounds dangerous.
Mick just had a freaking technical.
No, I didn't. The headphone, my chair grabbed the headphone cord, yanked it out, but it was still playing. You still heard it. Dustin just didn't, so he thought you didn't.
No, well, you were laughing so hard. That's, I think.
It just happens.
A robo handy.
I just want to hear that again. I just want to hear robo handy again. It's a robo handy.
Simply put, it's a robo handy.
See the guy's face, this English dude. It's a robo handy.
He's Australian, he has to be.
Whatever, dude. All I know is that you got it, ladies and gentlemen, you got to check out the video because they show this guy, this Japanese guy, in a chair. Then they show the device, dude. I shit you not. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me, man? Like, how lazy can the human race be that we got to have, you got to see this goddamn machine, man.
Well, I guarantee you, Kim Jong-un is probably pantsless right now with this, with his little haptic vagina in his hand while he's like, oh, yeah, I beat America. Oh, I beat America like I beat myself. They're not playing movie now. look at those visuals. Those make me very aroused.
All I know is that I was thinking about putting it on my Santa list, but I think I'm going to pass.
A haptic vag?
the Robo Handy.
The Robo Handy?
Whatever they're calling it. 2000. Robo Handy 2000.
Hey, Dustin, what are you doing later? Man, I'm a little occupied. I'm going to be partaking in a Robo Handy.
It looks like the amount of time it takes to set the thing up and then clean up. I mean, come on, man. You know? I say old fashioned.
Well, that's, you know, the fourth law of robots. It's obligated to help its master and self-pleasure.
Man. Awesome.
That's again, disturbing, man.
Can't make it up, dude.
I do not want to rely on a robot to get me off. Especially if it's a robotic vagina. What if something electrical goes wrong?
I don't know. Get your short and curlies fired off.
Mick was castrated today by his haptic vagina during a weird electrical malfunction.
Lightning hit the house when he was just getting a robo handy.
Piers, he was jerking and driving.
Jerking and driving. A PSA announcement. Do you have a cigarette lighter adapter for my robo handy?
Hey, Radio Shack, do you make those? Do you make those for haptic vages?
Oh, so Merry Christmas, people.
Yeah,
we're trying to make you laugh. Hopefully we made you laugh.
It'll put you in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. So,
good Lord. Well, thank you so much for tuning in and checking out Beer Army Engaged. All past episodes can be found online, beerarmy.org, and there's some good stuff. Some great beers have been featured, so definitely go back, check it out. And I can't stress enough, like I said earlier, the Heroes Never Die segment. That's always one to always catch up on.
Definitely, and we just, again, want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas from everybody here at the Beer Army Foundation and Beer Army Radio, and Mick and myself. Merry Christmas to you all, and hope you get everything you want and no, you know, lumps of coal in your stocking. So
there you go, and one more episode before a whole new year begins.
Can you believe it already?
It's crazy.
It's nuts, man.
Well, just check us out, join the fun, and be a part of Beer Army Engage. Be a super soldier. Check out Patreon on beerarmy.org and all the other resources and goodies you can find there. In the meantime, we will catch you next week.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.